We want to take this time to welcome everybody this morning. If you're visiting with us, we're thrilled to have you with us this morning. You know, as this last year, we've been so inhibited in our being able to be together and to have normalcy in our lives. But you know, as we look at that, I think that God can take that and show us how important it is to meet every time with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I think each of us would truly say how much we've missed that. So it's funny how things can work, but it's so wonderful to see everybody out and to get back to something at least similar to normal. At this time, let us go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful Lord's Day morning that you've given us. As we've mentioned, Father, we thank you so much for the lowering numbers of the COVID, the less impact it's making right now, and we thank you so much for that. And we thank you have truly shown us how important it is to be in the assembly and to hug and to see our brothers and sisters in Christ. From that, we gain a strength that we probably never realized before. We pray, Father, that you'll be with us in this service this morning. We pray, Father, that you'll be with each family represented here and those that are watching live stream that would so love to be here right now. We pray that soon their anticipation will be rewarded and they'll once again be in our assemblies too. We pray, Father, that you'll be with us as we in a few moments partake of the Lord's Supper to realize the tremendous impact of what Jesus did on Calvary's cross in our lives. Without that sacrifice, we would have no hope to spend eternity with you. We pray, Father, in a few moments that as Mike speaks to us about God's rest, that we'll make application of those things to our hearts and minds. Then we'll leave renewed and strengthened and better able to face each day as we go forward. We pray now, Father, that we each one will rejoice in this hour, that will truly give a listening ear to the things that are mentioned and take place. And we pray, Father, that at the end of our lives, that we can all go home to heaven together. These things we ask in your Son's wonderful, wonderful name. Amen.
Greetings, church. It's good to be with you, and it's good to see this crowd. Nice to see the numbers that we have this morning. Again, it looks like there may be 96 or 98 of us today, a bit more than last week. And so it's good to see folks gathering. I ran across this wonderful story about an exploring party going into Africa. They had hired some native carriers to go with them into the interior. And because they were in a hurry to get where they wanted to go, they were just pressing on for day without end. And finally, the natives just sat down and refused to go any further. And they asked, "What's the matter? What's the problem?" And the superstitious natives replied, "We are waiting for our souls to catch up with our bodies." Do you feel like that sometimes? Lately, I felt like that. You know, it feels like you kind of get ahead of yourself and you're waiting for all of that. The whole idea of rest is something that we're longing for today. We're longing for some rest because we don't feel much of it with this COVID that's been around us for so long. The theme of rest is one that really runs all the way through the Bible. Interestingly enough, in Genesis chapter 2, God has created everything, and on the seventh day, He rests. Interestingly enough, it doesn't mean He stopped doing anything. It means He stopped making new things. He rests. And so that's important. If you're reading along, you get to Deuteronomy chapter 25, and good old Moses says, God is going to give you rest when you get into the promised land. You'll get rest. Then in Joshua, the first chapter of Joshua, Joshua says, we're going to get rest. And finally, and he will go on to say to the folks who are going to take some land on the other side of the Jordan River, you're going to go and help your brothers fight until they find rest. And when they find rest, you can come back again. The end of Joshua is they found rest. And so there's rest. But in Psalm 95, yet again, David says, today, if you folks will stop putting God to the test, even though God said, they shall not enter into my rest, today that rest is available for you. Interesting language, isn't it? And here's this language from Jesus himself. Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek, I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Rest. Rest. You folks looking for some rest? There are times that I see folks shaking their head yes all over because indeed we're looking for rest after this COVID that's been around for so long. We're really longing for rest. Interestingly enough, in Hebrews chapter 3, chapters 3 through 4, he's going to make this big deal about today. He's quoting, he really is basing his sermon on Psalm 95. Today, if you will stop putting God to the test and stop your disobedience, even though God said today they won't enter my rest, the rest is available for you today. Interestingly enough, it doesn't end there. If you go to the book of Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, he will say, we're going to rest from our labors. Now, the rest that is being talked about way back in Deuteronomy and in Joshua is no longer having to fight those enemies that are around everywhere. And those enemies are going to be gone. But really, there's something more to that rest. It's the kind of peace that we know in Jesus. And that peace is available for us. Today, our text is one from the book of Hebrews, which is going to center on that rest. And I want us to talk about it for a few moments. We begin in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, let us fear if, while the promise remains of entering His rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. Even though the promise is still around when the author of Hebrews is writing his book, and it's still around for us today, the danger is that we may not enter that rest. We may fall short because we've turned our back on what God's done for us in Jesus. And he's making a big deal of that to his audience. These Jewish folks who've become Christians who are in danger of going back to Judaism because they have failed to appreciate the rest that is available in Jesus. He goes on to say, for indeed we have had good news preached to us just as they also. We've had the good news preached to us. The good news for us is the gospel. It's the story of Jesus. It's the fact that Jesus came to earth and he lived this wonderful life and he died on a cross and he was raised from the dead. And it's good news for us. Our sins can be taken care of. But they had good news preached to them too. You see, those folks back Deuteronomy and really even before that, back in Exodus, they have good news preached to them. The good news came from good old Joshua and Caleb. You remember the good news? I know, we've gone to that land and you folks have seen all of that produce that's there. We haven't had any of that. We've been wandering in the wilderness and the produce is there. It's ready for us to take and we can do it because God is with us. The other 10 spies say, no, 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 there are giants over there. We can't take this land. We can't do it. We need to just sort of go back. Maybe we need to go back to Egypt even. But the good news was preached to them. But the word they heard did not profit them because it was not united in faith by those who heard. Only two folks had faith and heard the good news preached, the land is ours to take. Joshua and Caleb, they're the only two who are going to get to go into the promised land. The rest of them were saying no because it wasn't united in faith. And so the good news is preached to us. But it's got to be united in faith if we're going to find any rest. And we're longing for that rest. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he has said, "As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest," although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. You know, God's works, his creating new things, were done from the foundation of the world back in Genesis chapter 2. And God rested. We've not been able to enter that rest because we've not put our faith in God. Israel didn't put their faith in God. And the difficulty is that we may not either. Isn't that a terrible thought? Missing out on what really matters? You see, that rest is still available to us today. And that's the word I talked about 2 weeks ago. That was my key to the sermon. Today is the day of You see, it's today. Something wonderful is available to us yet today. He goes on to say, "For he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day," by the way, it's not that our author doesn't know where this is. He's saying, in a certain place it's been said, and we know where that is, it's in Genesis chapter 2. Concerning the seventh day, God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this passage, "They shall not enter my rest." God rested. He stopped making new things. And rest is available for us. And that rest is the kind of peace that we enjoy. It's not just not working. It's more than that. Interestingly enough, Sabbath was a very special day for Jews. I think we kind of think of Sabbath as something you have to do or something you can't do. But it was a wonderful day. It's the joy of Sabbath. I have a wonderful little book that I found. I think I bought it at a used book sale or something. It's a book that's written, interestingly enough, from the back to the front it's in Hebrew, and from the front to the back it's in English, because folks in Hebrew read backwards to us in English. But it's called The Joy of Sabbath. It's about Jews appreciating what Sabbath is all about. It's rest. Ah, what rest. It's not just the land of Canaan that they got into. It's this ultimate rest. It's this fellowship with God that is available to those of us who are believers. That's the rest that's available. That's the rest we're really longing for. It's that peace that comes because we have a God who really cares about us, who knows what we need, who comes to our rescue. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, those who formerly had the good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience. All of those folks who were adults, when they were ready to enter the promised land the first time, none of those folks except two, Joshua and Caleb, get to enter the promised land. And why is that? Because they disobeyed God. They didn't pay any attention to what God had said. And that's the call for us. It's the call for those of us who are believers to obey. Obedience, to some folks, it's almost a dirty word. Ah, I have to do it. It's not that at all. It's this wonderful blessing that is ours because of who we are. Again, he fixes a certain day, today. That's the day, saying through David after as long a time as it has been said before, "Today, if you will hear my voice, do not harden your hearts." Today. You see, it's still available in the days of good old David. That's a long time from Moses' day, but it was still available. And our author is saying to his audience, the Jews, the Hebrews, in this book of Hebrews, it's available today to you. And he would say to us, it's available to you as well. You can find this peace, this rest. It's the rest we're all longing for. It's available for us. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. You see, if it were just about Joshua and rest, the author of Psalm 95, David, wouldn't have said anything about it again. He'd have been done. By the way, if you have a good King James Version here, it doesn't say Joshua. It says, if Jesus had given them rest. And they kind of goofed here because the word Jesus and the word Joshua are really the same words in the original. Did you realize that? Jesus is named. He's told by the angel Gabriel will tell Mary and tell Joseph, you're going to name this baby and you're going to name him Jesus. Joshua. Because he's going to lead people free from slavery. But here, there's almost a pun on that story. You see, if Joshua had given them rest way back then, when they got into the land, and the text will say, ah, we found rest because there's no more war. If that's all it was about, our author in Psalm 95 wouldn't have said any more about it. He would have been done. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. There is for us a Sabbath rest. A rest where we can find peace and fellowship with God. What a blessing that is. And we need to appreciate it. For the one who has entered his rest has himself rested from his works as God did from his. You see, for those of us who have entered God's rest, for those of us who put our faith in God, who have been buried in baptism and walked this new life, we find a kind of rest just like God did. We've rested from our works. Our turmoils are all gone. All of those things we've worried about, how do I deal with this sin problem? It's dealt with. It's gone. Therefore, let us be diligent. I like that word, diligent. Let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall after following the same examples of disobedience. I don't want you to disobey like they did back then. I want you to enter that rest, and I want you to be diligent about making every effort to do that. By the way, do you notice that he says it so that no one may fall? There are folks today out there who will argue, once saved, always saved. Our author says, no, you can fall. You can turn your back on God, but I don't want you to do that. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, both of joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. He now talks about the fact that what gives us this hope and what gives us this kind of peace that is ours and gives us this rest is the Word of God. Notice how he describes it. It is living and active. It's live. It's not dead. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, the two-edged sword would have been something very special for folks doing battle back then. Most of them had a sharp edge on just one side. But if it's sharp on both sides, you can kind of go back and forth and so forth. But it's really sharp on both sides. It will pierce to the division of soul and spirit. Now, it divides what you can't divide. Tell me where the soul stops and the spirit begins. Well, soul is person. That's who you are. And spirit is what makes you alive. And how can you tell the difference between those where one begins and the other ends? You can't. But God can. It will divide joints and marrow, something they couldn't do. And it's able to judge the thoughts and the intentions. Can you tell the difference between what somebody's thinking and what they really intend to do? Well, sometimes you can't. Sometimes I can't even tell for sure what that is with me. But the Word of God is so sharp that it does that. And so we have this powerful message. There is no creature hidden from His sight. All things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. So God sees it all. He knows who we are deep down inside. Verse 14, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. I love this verse. Interestingly enough, we have this high priest now. And the reason that we're able to enter God's rest is this high priest of ours. It's Jesus. And he describes him as having passed through the heavens. You may remember in the last text we looked at, it was really quite interesting because he'll say that Jesus passes through the veil, and the veil is his flesh. And he's playing off of the fact that when Jesus died on the cross, the veil that separates the Holy of Holies from the holy place, it's where the Ark of the Covenant is, was torn from the top to the bottom, all the way down. And if it's torn, you know, you can tear something from the bottom to the top. You can kind of imagine getting at the bottom and just ripping it up to the top. But it's from the top down. God did it. And interestingly enough, the average person could never see the Ark of the Covenant, which symbolized God's very presence. The only person who ever got to see that was the high priest, and then only one day a year on the Day of Atonement. But now anybody standing around, standing outside, could see all the way to God, because we've got this kind of high priest. He's made it possible for us to see God. What a blessing it is for us. Because of that, we need to hold fast to our confession. You remember that confession you made when you were baptized, when the preacher said to you, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? And you said, yes. Remember that day? He says you need to hold fast to that. You confess that, you acknowledge that, and you need to hang on to that. And you can find rest, that peace that God has to offer for us. Our section emphasizes that we must listen to the voice of God as He speaks in Scripture, that we can't be disobedient, that's the human problem, that we are a privileged people, that we have a guarantee of blessing if we are faithful, because He's faithful. The antidote to unbelief is this exposure to the judgment of God, and it's the faithfulness of Christ. That's the one who established all of that. What a wonderful blessing it is for us. We're going to enter God. We have entered God's rest, those of us who are believers. And so even though we feel like we're just worn out, God's rest is available. We're going to sing a song as an invitation song. And as we always do, we give folks an opportunity who need to respond to that message, the message of who Jesus is and what He's done for us. And we give folks an opportunity to do that every time we gather. If you need to respond to confess Him as Lord, to be buried in baptism, we'd be happy to do that with you today. Perhaps there are others who need prayers, and again, we'd be happy to do that. Let's stand and sing this song, and if you need to respond, you may as we sing.
All right, if you would stand, and we'll be closed with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank You so much for allowing us to assemble today to worship You in spirit and truth. We thank You for the ability to assemble and assemble freely without fear of harm. We ask that we not take this blessing for granted. We would also ask for the courage and the boldness to not keep this love and hospitality and just warmness to ourselves, but that we may have the courage to take it to the world who desperately needs it. It may seem that we live in a time of despair and anger, but You have given us the hope and the security that You have given us everything. You have shown us insurmountable love. So let us be bold to share that love with those who need it the most. We ask that You would be with those who we mentioned prior, that You would be with them, have Your healing hand be put upon them. We ask that as we go about this week, that You would keep us safe and be with those of our number who are not here. Just be a God of comfort to them. We ask that You would forgive us for our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.